I got to say, too, because this issue comes up, you know, in lung cancer and colon cancer and even in breast cancer, where I think there's even a stronger sentiment not to use Bev as adjuvant therapy off study. But, you know, in ovarian cancer, it seems like it's a little bit more encouraging in terms of what, you know, sort of the background behind it, the fact that you see single agent responses, as you mentioned, which you really don't see in these other solid tumors. So I guess there's, you know, maybe more reason for optimism in ovarian cancer.
I couldn't agree with you more. And in the first two phase twos that were published last November in the Journal of Clinical Oncology, the editorial by Stan Kay was entitled Bevacizumab's Finest Hour. For the reasons that you said, that the level of activity seems to be at a different magnitude. And if you think about ovarian cancer, ascites, after all, is angiogenesis out of control. What do I mean? That these new blood vessels are leaky. And these leaky blood vessels extravasate fluid. The good news is that that can be taken to an advantage in that it can also cause macromolecular chemotherapies to leak out into the tumor. And we talked about polyglutamated taxane. But liposomal doxorubicin is a classic example. The reason liposomal doxorubicin is so effective in recurrent ovarian cancer is that it stays intravascular where it needs to be, intravascular, like in the heart, but yet in the tumor where it needs to be, it extravasates out of these fenestrated leaky blood vessels. So we understand that. That's VEGF-driven, and that's why these anti-VEGF molecules are effective, and that's why macromolecular compounds are effective in ovarian cancer.